Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
How many of you guys believe that? I mean, how many of you guys truly believe that He is for us, right? He is rooting for us. He is behind us. He is with us. He come before us. He's behind us. He's on all sides. How many of you guys actually believe that? If we actually believe that, wouldn't that cause us to live a little bit differently, right? Because if He is for us, who can be against us? There's a spirit of defeat and discouragement that has enveloped this world, but especially our country. But how can we live under that if we truly believe that He is for us? He is with us. Father God, we're overwhelmed with this idea that You are a knowable God. You're not distant. You didn't set things in motion and pull Your hand back, but Lord, You desire a relationship with each one of us. And Lord God, You want to walk with us. You want to provide for us. Lord, You want to bless us. But Lord God, we understand too that it's not a one-way street. So Lord God, help us to rely upon You, to draw near to You, to offer ourselves to You. Because Jesus, You're loving, You're inviting, You're inclusive. All You want is our heart. So Lord God, help us today. Help us this morning to get over ourselves, Lord God, to step away from everything that hinders us from pressing in 100% with all that we have. Because Jesus, I know from experience that You will meet us there. You'll meet us wherever we are at. And You love us so much that You won't leave us there as we begin to commit ourselves to You, to walk with You, to have that relationship with You. So this morning, Lord God, we honor You. We honor You with all that we have, with our very being, with everything, our thoughts, our actions, even our finances, our tools, our talents. We lay them at Your feet. We offer them to service. So Lord God, speak to us. Speak to individuals in here this morning. Lord God, I pray, I ask that You speak to individuals in here this morning, those that are going through hard times, those that have questions within their lives, those that are in conflict, those that are wondering how much You can actually love them. Those that are wondering what their next step is, Lord God, I implore You this morning that You speak to hearts today. Make it clear. Put that into their hands and then equip them with the boldness to do what they need to do. This morning, Jesus, we honor You. Holy Spirit, we invite You. We ask You to be here. We welcome You. Father, we love You. Pray this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone shout it out.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, worship team. You guys can grab a seat. Let's dismiss the kids. Kids, you guys are out of here. Have fun. Isn't it nice our kids always use the outside aisles and never run right up the middle of the church? Man, if I was a kid, I'd be running straight up the middle, being loud, slapping hands. That's what our kids need to do, slap more hands. All right, I have a couple quick announcements here, important, very important announcements. First announcement, we're doing the Bags of Blessing for God's Love, the homeless shelter. They're hygiene bags, basically. A lot of you guys picked them up last week, so Gail went ahead and made some extras. So there's extras back there if you didn't have a chance to grab a bag. They are both male and female. and you will get a list of the contents you need to put in there. If that is something you want to do, but you don't love shopping, would it be okay? Okay, so Gail said it's about $15 a bag. And if you would like to participate, but you just don't want to actually do the bag itself, you could give Gail $15, and she will go out and use 10 of that to fill the bag and the other 5 for coffee. No, not Gail. Gail would be the last one to do that. She will be your personal shopper. How cool is that? So please, let's support this. Now remember, the bags are due back on Easter Sunday, and that is April 17th. So just make sure. You don't have to bring them back that day. We received a bunch back this morning. Keep them coming back, and then we will take them down that Monday, the 18th, and bless everybody down there. What a great thing to do. You know, we've done so many different things, from Options Clinic, from Moms, to Bags by the Bumper. Man, we kind of are making a list of all the different things that we've done. Backpacks, we did backpacks for kids. So let's keep this going, and thank you for your diligence in helping really the less fortunate in this community. Speaking of being a blessing, this is in your bulletin, and I had it in the Tuesday newsletter email. If you're not getting the Tuesday email, holler at Amy or me, and we'll get you on that list. But another thing that, if you want to get involved, Celebrate Recovery, that meets here on Saturday evenings at 5, it's growing. It just keeps growing. And Alvin takes a lot of that on himself. Alvin's in the lobby, isn't he? No, Alvin, so what are you doing over there? See, you people change spots, and I don't know where you are. If you guys want to get involved and help with Celebrate Recovery, one great way to do that is they eat every Sunday or Saturday night. So instead of Alvin having to always do the cooking and stuff, and some of you guys volunteer. I know Sandy comes in and does stuff. If you guys would want to get with Alvin and say, hey, what can I do? Can I bring desserts? Can I bring a main dish? Can I bring the whole meal? Could I get several of my friends together and we'll cook hamburgers and hot dogs, or bring lasagna or whatever? Holler at him. That would be a huge, right? That'd be an awesome blessing.
Absolutely.
So get with Alvin. Doesn't have to be today, but it could be today. It'd be great if it was today, and then he'll get you on a schedule, and it'll be awesome. What a blessing that is, that they're able to meet here, and the lives being touched through Celebrate Recovery here is really awesome. And then here's another announcement I just saw in my email this morning. Have you guys heard of The Case for Heaven? Have you guys heard of The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel? Okay. He did another book, The Case for Heaven, and they've turned that into a movie, and that movie will actually be showing here in the theaters Monday and Tuesday. I'm not supposed to say this, but it's also Wednesday, but don't go Wednesday, because that interferes with our Wednesday night stuff. But Monday and Tuesday would be a great time. Check the theater for showing times, but it's supposed to be really, really great. I just wanted to throw that announcement up there. Also, here's another one. May 1st, remember May 1st. Don't come to church May 1st, because we're going to be down at Spring Meadow Lake, right? We're going to be volunteering our labor and have a whole lot of fun down there. Probably cook hot dogs afterwards. Everybody loves hot dogs, right? Who doesn't like hot dogs? Some people don't like hot dogs. If you know what's in them, you don't really like hot dogs. But if you don't know what's in them, they're always good. So May 1st, just kind of put that on your calendar to not come to church on May 1st, but we'll all meet down there. And then finally, we have our Good Friday service and our Resurrection Sunday service coming up. Good Friday service will be here, 6 p.m., April 15th. Ironically enough, that's a Friday, right? Isn't that crazy how that works? Good Friday is on a Friday, and then Resurrection Sunday is on what day? Sunday, 10 a.m., April 17th. It'll be a great time. All right, those are my announcements. There is invite cards at the guest services desk for both of these services. Grab those, pass those out. I didn't even check. We might be running low on them, but if we are, we'll have more next Sunday, or you can pick them up throughout the week here. 4 ways to give. We talked about that last Sunday. We now have another way to give here. Everything should be up and running now with our new giving platform. So if you're still using Simple Give, get off Simple Give. Please get off Simple Give so we can end that all together and shift it over to the new one. How do you get to the new one? You go to our website at bridgehelen.com. You can get on there. If you had set up reoccurring gifts through Simple Give, just simply end that, and you can do reoccurring gifts on the new platform. You can now text to give. Just text your amount to 84321. We had a couple people do it last Sunday, and it worked really good. Of course, there's the giving boxes out back, and you can continue to mail it here if you want. We will be taking a second offering today for our guest speaker. So go ahead and your regular tithes and offerings, you can do those now or whenever, or you can just do them all at once whenever you want. Amen? Well, at this time, I'm going to invite Tim up here. Tim Kern, he is a missionary, Chi Alpha missionary to Notre Dame, but he has roots, very deep roots here in Helena, and I'm not even going to try to go into that because I figured you will. Amen. All right, with that, we'll turn it over to you.
Thanks, Pastor Jason, and it's great to be back in Helena. Thank you, Bridge Assembly, and it's just always fun to be able to come back and visit. I was able to come back for a Chi Alpha reunion we had yesterday. It's been 21 years since we pioneered Chi Alpha in Helena at Carroll College, and so we had a reunion yesterday, and so it was fun. We had some of our first students there, to students that I hadn't even met yet. Nick and Haley Petrucci are here this morning, and their family, and they are the Chi Alpha directors at Carroll now in Helena. So it's just fun to be back, and just this church has been a special part of our lives over the years. When we were here for 12 years as Chi Alpha missionaries, we now serve in South Bend, Indiana, and just for fun, I thought I would show you this picture here. This is our family when we moved from Helena to Indiana, and this is our family now. Our kids have grown up a little, and I've got a little older. Just how many of you are familiar with Chi Alpha? Have you heard of Chi Alpha? Chi Alpha had an impact on my life and my wife's life as we were students at University of Montana Western. And God got a hold of our hearts and then stirred our hearts to pioneer at Carroll. And then 9 years ago, God called us to move across country to pioneer Chi Alpha at the University of Notre Dame. And that's what we've been doing ever since. We also serve, there's 35,000 university students in South Bend, Indiana, and with these colleges here. And so that's our mission field. So we were tasked by Chi Alpha to go and to really reach out to these students. And of course, the most significant campus that we're focusing on is the University of Notre Dame. Any Irish fans out here? Anybody? Okay. And so very well known academically and with sports. They did pretty good in football. But you know, Notre Dame is one of a handful of truly international universities. There's students from all 50 states attending at Notre Dame, and there's over 1,000 international students from over 100 nations worldwide. And so we really are, it's just a window to the world, and we're having students in our home all the time from all over the world, and so we really enjoy that. The cool thing about Chi Alpha is that we get 25% new population every year to our campus. It's like Helena increasing 25%. Of course, the other side of that is we send out 25% every year, right? And but of those 25%, 100%, you know, of the freshmen are asking the big questions in life. Think about that. Every freshman coming to campus, leaving mom and dad for the first time, having to make decisions on their own and the big decisions of life, that's fertile ground for the gospel. There's an openness, there's a season of openness, because they're an adult now, and they're on their own, and they're having to make those decisions. And so we're there to reach out to those students and share Christ with them. And so that's what we do. This is just some pictures from this year. And it took 6 years for us to get on campus at the University of Notre Dame. And now Chi Alpha is an official club of the University of Notre Dame. But it took 6 years, and our first 2 years on campus were impacted by COVID, and everybody's lives were impacted by COVID, right? But so this is our first like normal year on campus at Notre Dame, and so those are some pictures there. We're also at another college called IUSB, Indiana University, South Bend. And this is the room we meet in at Notre Dame in the Student Center. This is our group at IU South Bend, and we met in the courtyard at the beginning of the year just because of all the restrictions. We just thought, you know, we're going to meet in person and outdoors, and so that's our group there. We host a lot of things at our home. You know, we just live 1 mile down the street from Notre Dame, and so we're always having, like, cornhole tournaments and different things like that. That was a new thing for me coming from Montana. Cornhole's a bit really popular out there. I don't know why, but... taking students to the beach. We're really close to Michigan. We're just right on the border, a couple miles from the border of Michigan, and so Lake Michigan's there, so we take students up there, and it's just beautiful up there if you ever get up to Michigan. Having spontaneous barbecues and bonfires and parties at our house is fun with our students. Stuff's, you know, like carving pumpkins with our Notre Dame students and having worship nights at our house and outdoor movie nights in our yard. Just some of the things that we do with our students and some of the things we used to do at Carroll. This is our group at Fall Retreat this year and in downtown Indianapolis. We meet at a local church now for our IUSB group. And next year we'll be back on campus. So that's our group at our local church that we get to use on Sunday nights. And international students, I mentioned that, but we have students from all over the world, and so this is a dinner we had last semester at our house, just inviting some of our international students and their friends over to our home for a meal, and just a lot of fun interacting with students from all over the world, and so we just love doing that. We host a big, huge Thanksgiving dinner in our home, so we just move out all our furniture and put it in the garage, and we have a pretty good-sized great room, and so then we put tables and chairs in there, and we had over close to 60 students and staff there this year, and so it was a lot of fun. We had a Christmas party in our home as well, and we had about 40 students there for that. It was a lot of fun, a little white elephant gift exchange, and I painted my beard. You know, I used to do that at Carroll. You know, I'd paint my beard white and, you know, pretend to be Santa. Now I don't have to paint it as much because it's starting to get gray, and so... This is our students we took to SALT. We had four students that were baptized in the Holy Spirit at SALT. And God just powerfully moving in our students' lives. We have a very diverse student population, and it's really exciting. And one student named Chaz, we were scheduled to have a water baptism in the evening at the hotel pool at our SALT conference. And then he went to a session on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then later that night, he got baptized in water. And so it's pretty neat. But Chaz's story, he just came from a really rough background, and he was fostered out, and then eventually his foster mom adopted him, but then she moved away when he went off to college, and so he was just kind of on his own. He had some siblings, but just really tough life, and he just came to know the Lord within the last 2 years and got involved in Chi Alpha, and he's just been faithfully coming and being a part, and God's working in his life. And after he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, coming back from SALT just this past semester in January, he started inviting all his friends he's playing basketball with and other guys. One guy, he's in a part of a chess club, and he says, oh, you come to Chi Alpha, I'll come to your chess club. And so we came to a small group, and this was just this past Sunday night. We had 14 of us. That includes me and a professor from IUSB. And these guys are coming, and five guys were invited by Chaz after SALT. He just started inviting these guys, hey, come to the small group. They didn't know what they were getting into. You know, happens that our small group this semester is talking about, you know, overcoming sexual temptation and different things. And so, but, you know, they're coming, and they're inviting their friends. And so God is at work. And so we're thankful to be a part of what he's doing. When we challenge our students in Chi Alpha, these three things, these three anchors, we call them, but we want every student to have a real devotional life, really knowing how to connect with Jesus personally through prayer and Bible study and fasting and real community, just really being depending upon one another and having community with one another. That's very important for us to just have authentic Christian relationships. And then real responsibility. So we challenge our students that, you know, it's their responsibility to reach the campus. It's their responsibility to reach their dorms, to reach their classmates or their cohorts. And so that by the time they graduate, who's going to replace them, right? And so we're really challenging our students with that focus that it's their responsibility. And so these are the areas of our mission and mission at Carroll and the Petrushas have. You know, we want to reach the lost. And more students now are unchurched. They're coming to the college campus. More and more today just have no church background at all. And so it's really different than years before. We want to protect our youth, those students who have a Christian foundation. We want to reach future leaders and then reach international students. So that's just a little bit about Chi Alpha. I know you're familiar, but God is working, and we are excited to be a part of this mission field, and we are a product of this ministry of Chi Alpha. And I just wanted to share a message this morning about discipleship, because this is a big part of what we do in Chi Alpha is discipleship. And let me just pray real quick. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to share your word this morning, and I pray that, Lord, you just open our hearts to just hear, just nudge your hearts if in any direction or way that you want to speak to us this morning, that we could bring it into our lives in any kind of application that you want. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you, and we thank you for this time, and just anoint this message in Jesus' name. Amen. So we all have a lens. When we think about the word discipleship or whatever, we all have a lens that we see through or we think about with regard to that. I now have readers because I'm getting older, and it just happens. It's the weirdest thing when your kid shows you something, you go like this, and you're mid-40s, and well, anyways, many of you know about that. So discipleship, we all have this lens of what that looks like, and Jesus in the Great Commission says this, and he says this to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you all, always, to the very end of the age." So, go and make disciples. And we've heard that before, but you know, the main verb there is make disciples. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, make disciples. That's the emphasis that Jesus was getting at. When the disciples heard this, they had a lens. Based on their experience with Jesus, they had a lens of what discipleship was. And so when Jesus said this, they didn't just scratch their heads and wonder, I wonder what he meant by that. What did he mean by that? Back then, a rabbi would call disciples to follow him, and they would be close to him, and they would go wherever their rabbi went and do whatever their rabbi did to learn everything from. And they would spend so much time with the rabbi. And Jesus did this with his disciples. They ate together, slept together out in the open. Where they walked everywhere they went, or they rode in boats, right? And so everything they did, it was together for that 3.5 years. They spent that together. Just very, very close relationally. Life on life relationship. So when Jesus said this to the disciples, you know, their lens was they knew exactly what he was talking about. They weren't scratching their heads. They just went and did what he did with them with somebody else. And that was discipleship to the apostles, to the disciples. And, you know, fast forward 2,000 years later, sometimes our lens is a little bit different. And so today I'm just going to be sharing about a little bit of that. The next scripture I want to share this morning is in 1 Corinthians 4:14-17. Paul says this to the church there, "I am writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me. For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church." So Paul writes that though you have 10,000 guardians, you do not have many fathers. And he says, I became your father through the gospel. And, you know, wherever Paul went, he would make disciples and he would share the gospel. And then oftentimes he would take those disciples with him on mission to other cities and do the same things. And then he'd go back and visit and appoint leaders, right? But that discipleship focused, you know, Paul did that. When he was arrested and sent to Rome and traveled all that way, and Luke's recording that, Luke says, Luke was there and maybe some others that traveled along and paid their way to be with Paul, their mentor, so they could be with him. And so Jesus and Paul really modeled discipleship. But When we think about followers versus disciples, somewhere along the line in our Christian history, somebody came along and told us that we could separate these two things. You know, you could be a follower of Christ, but you didn't have to be a disciple. That was kind of optional. So to make disciples, that was optional, but you could be a follower, but not necessarily a disciple. So what is a disciple? A disciple is a follower, a believer, one who obeys Jesus and his teachings, and two, a disciple maker, someone who makes other disciples. And that shouldn't be separated. We're all called to be followers, but we're all supposed to be disciples and disciple makers. You know, the earliest creed of the Christian church was Jesus is Lord. The Lordship of Jesus is the earliest creed. That's the foundation. We are to serve Jesus as Lord, and we're to make disciples. Years ago, I read a book called Not a Fan, and this is a quote. Are you a fan or a follower? The dictionary defines a fan as an enthusiastic admirer. Fans want to be close enough to Jesus to get all the benefits, but not so close that it requires sacrifice. You know, it's safe in the stadium watching those players out there, you know, on the field, right? But then when we have to get in the game, it costs us something. It's costly. Discipleship is costly. It's an investment of our lives in somebody else's lives. And that's what Jesus did, and that's what he modeled, and that's what we are to do as well. Harv Herman, Chi Alpha legend, and wrote a book called Discipleship by Design. He says this, "The making of disciples is not something that just happens. It is a very deliberate and specific process requiring strategy, time, and prayer. It is a process by which growing Christians impart their knowledge and experience in the Lord Jesus to newer Christians in the context of personal relationships." And then we've got the cartoon here. It says, "Archery without a target gave Steve the satisfaction of knowing he would never miss, and yet the excitement soon waned." Right? So it's pretty fun just throwing out those arrows, but when you start getting a target there, you have to really be specific and start choosing things, right? And so this is very important. You know, if you go out elk hunting in Montana, you don't use a shotgun, right? You use a high-powered rifle with a scope that can go a long distance and zero in on a specific target, the heart or lung, right? And I'm not a big hunter. I know Nick and many of you probably are here. Actually, in Indiana, they use shotguns with a slug because, you know, everything's flat there, so they can't shoot, you know, very far. But if you're going after an elk, you're not going to get very far with a shotgun. But it's like that with this. Discipleship is like this. We shouldn't just, like a shotgun, just hope something hits or sticks, you know, with people. But it's like a high-powered rifle, and we're zeroing in. We're being very strategic with our time. We're investing very intentionally in those that we're discipling. You see, before Jesus ever preached his first sermon, he had already selected people to follow him. Think about that. Before he ever started preaching, he started calling man to follow him. He was choosing those he was going to make that strategic investment in, and that's discipleship. Another quote from Harv Herman, "The kingdom of God is a kingdom of changed, transformed people who share the Lord with each other and with the world. Thus, discipleship is relationships built on Jesus." And another fun cartoon, "Well, Mr. Curtis, it seems your inability to function stems from the fact that you are a disembodied head." We need each other, right? We need the body of Christ. We need one another. We're not supposed to be just doing this on our own, right? That's what this is all about. We need one another. We're not to be disembodied heads. And, you know, I know that, you know, I come from Montana. I'm a Montanan. I know that those who pioneered and came out west, you know, they were pioneers, they were individuals, they were rugged and tough. I just read a book recently called Misreading Scripture Through Individualist Eyes, and it talked about, you know, the differences of a nation like America, Australia or the UK, very individualist nations, versus collective cultures. So collectivists or what the majority of the world is a collectivist culture. We're not. We're more individualist. And recently, one of our Notre Dame alums that was a part of our Chi Alpha group from Afghanistan, after the war in Afghanistan, everything the Taliban took over, his family was able to get out. Actually, he had been in the country. He's back at Notre Dame. Him and his wife just had their first son. And so just spending time with them a few weeks ago and in their apartment on campus at Notre Dame and just talking about things. And, you know, they're just brand new parents. And, you know, they're just saying, you know, how hard it was, you know, just to have to do everything on their own. Because if in Afghanistan, the whole family is together. Somebody would be shopping, somebody would be cooking, somebody would be watching the kids. They just all work together as a collective culture, helping one another and supporting one another. And, you know, for me, I'm like, you know, I never lived in a town with grandparents. We just did it on our own. We're tough. You know, we parented as individualists, right? But there's something that about what he said really makes sense. We need one another. We can't just do it on our own. And so that's a part of discipleship. That's a part of what we do. We need to be doing things together, not just on our own. Here's some numbers. You know, if you compare the faithful discipler and the super evangelist. So the super evangelist, every day he preaches, 1,000 people get saved, right? So at the end of 1 year, 365,000 people are saved. Faithful discipler, every year, reaches and disciples 5 people, right? And then the next year, each person goes out, reaches and disciples 5 people, and so on and so forth. So the faithful discipler looks way behind in year 1, and even in year 5, where there's, you know, 1,825 versus 3,750. But you look at year 10, and you see the exponential growth of discipleship in comparison to the super evangelist. And so just the way about Jesus, his methodology and what he did, it really made sense. We can make a bigger investment in the long run if we make a more quality, smaller investment in 1 or 2 people in the short run. If we just invest our lives in a few, that will multiply over time. And another quote here, one must decide where he wants his ministry to count, in the momentary applause of popular recognition or in the reproduction of his life in a few chosen individuals who will carry on his work after he is gone. Really, it is a question of which generation we are serving, right? Like I asked our students, who's going to replace you when you're gone? Who's going to be here because of you? And I have a little section to read. It's from a book that I read years ago called The Disciple-Making Minister. And there was a section called Reaching the Goal. And it says this. Imagine for a moment something that never could have happened under Jesus' ministry, but happens all the time in modern churches. Imagine that Jesus, after his resurrection, stayed on the earth and started a church like a modern institutional church, and then pastored it for 30 years. Imagine him giving sermons every Sunday to the same congregation. Imagine Peter, James, and John sitting on the first pew during one of Jesus' sermons where they had been sitting every Sunday for 20 years. Imagine Peter leaning toward John and whispering in his ear with a groan, "We've heard this same sermon 10 times." We know that such a scene is absurd because we all know that Jesus would never have put himself or his apostles into such a situation. Jesus came to make some disciples and to do it in a certain way within a certain amount of time. Over a period of about 3 years, he discipled Peter, James, and John, and some others. He didn't do it by preaching to them once every Sunday in a church building. He did it by living his life before them, answering their questions, and giving them opportunities to serve. He completed his task and moved on. So why do we do what Jesus would never have done? Why do we attempt to accomplish what God wants by preaching sermons to the same people for decades? When will we ever have completed our task? Why aren't our disciples, after a few years, ready to go out and make some disciples of their own? My point is that if we are doing our jobs correctly, there should come a time when our disciples are mature enough to not really need our ministry to them any longer. They should be turned loose to make disciples themselves. We are supposed to reach the goal God has set for us, and Jesus showed us how to do it. So, that's not saying we don't preach on Sunday mornings. That doesn't mean we don't need the teaching. It just means that we who are receiving the teaching, we are who are receiving what God is giving in us, we are supposed to be investing it in somebody else too. We are to become mature enough to start having disciples of our own. And that's what God wants for us. You know, if you look at Numbers, and sometimes you read the Old Testament and you skip through some of the genealogies and stuff, but in Numbers chapter 1, you know, it mentions the different sons of Israel, and we look at the, you know, when they went into Egypt to when they came out of Egypt 400 years later, and you look at Judah, and the numbers, you know, went from one man came 74,600 just men descendants, right? And so, like, multiplication. And thinking about investing in others, there's a really good illustration I've used over the years, and I got it from somebody, so it's not original to me. But, you know, there's two main seas in the Bible land, in the Promised Land. There's the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, and there's the same river, the Jordan, flows into both of those seas, right? And so the Jordan River flows into and out of the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee is just full of life, full of sea life and birds and all kinds of life, right? And then that same river, the Jordan River, flows into the Dead Sea. In the Dead Sea, there's just no sea life. There's nothing. It's just full of salt. You can float in it. You know, it's just nothing, right? And so it's just an illustration, I think, of how we ought to live. What we are receiving from God, we ought to be having flow out of our lives to others. We are to take what we are getting and invest in others, and that's discipleship. Paul writes this to Timothy, his disciple. He says, "And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." It didn't stop with Timothy, and it shouldn't stop with us, right? So Paul says, take what you learned from me, do that with others, so that they can do that with others, and so on. It just keeps going, and that's discipleship. We should all, maybe do this sometime. Dick Schroeder did that with us when we were young Chi Alpha staff, but he had this family tree, and he says, okay, so at the top is you. And then you draw a line down, and some of you have family trees with your relatives and family members on it, but there's you, and discipleship is like this. There's you, you draw a line down, and then fill in the blank. Who's that person that you're investing in? And then you branch off from there, and who are they investing in, and branch off. And over the years, there should be a family tree. You know, I'm in my campus pastor's family tree, you know, and then a long line of people that he discipled. And so who can you point to in your life right now who you are intentionally investing in with regard to the kingdom of God? I believe Jesus would call such an investment discipleship. You know, I believe that we all need a Paul in our life, somebody who mentors us, who invests in our lives. And we all need a Barnabas, somebody who comes alongside us as a peer and somebody we're encouraged by. And we all need somebody who's a Timothy, somebody who we're investing in, who we're intentionally discipling. And, we're in a coffee culture, especially Helena. It's up northwest here, of course, because of Seattle and Starbucks and all that. It's very popular out here. Out in Indiana, there's not as many. They're starting to get more popular, but there's not as many, you know, locally owned coffee shops. My daughter Hannah, who's now 21 and on staff with us at Chi Alpha, she loves to find new coffee shops in the South Bend area that are just springing up just overnight since we've been there. And it just gives us an opportunity. It's very easy to do this, and this is what we do with students. We just say, "Hey, John, it's nice meeting you. It's great that you came today to Chi Alpha. Hey, would you mind grabbing coffee sometime this week? Do you have when does it work in your schedule? I'd love to sit down and just get to know you better." Sure, and we figure out the schedule, and we go meet at a Starbucks across campus, and I get to know John. Starts saying, "Hey, would you like to do this again? How about next week?" You know, but that's what disciples are: an older believer investing in a younger believer. And if you look around today, there's different people in that category, right? There's always somebody younger than you in the Lord. Right? And so we need each other, and we need to be able to invest in one another. And it doesn't mean you have to, it could be just a brand new Christian, could be somebody who's just new in the Lord. and you can just come alongside them and support and encourage and keep them accountability to really following Jesus, and you can be with them. Just one of the guys that Chaz, that I mentioned earlier from IUSB, that he plays basketball with, he invited him to our men's group. On the second week of him coming as a new guy coming to our group, he asked me afterwards, hey, could you pray with me? I'm really wanting to, I've been smoking pot a lot with my roommates. I'm just not in a good place. I really want to get right with God. Would you pray with me? And so I prayed with him. After I prayed with him, I said, do you have a Bible? He said, no. I said, well, I'll get you a Bible. Got him a Bible. And then I've been meeting with him every week since he made that decision to follow Christ. And he's a brand new Christian. I had him start reading in John, and he had some great questions that I'd never heard before. It was just awesome, but he's reading the Bible for the first time, and it's exciting. Nick's in the back here. Nick, wave your hand, Nick. He looks a little different back there. He was a little younger. Nick was about a freshman at this point. Played football for Carroll College. Bro, this is me and Emily, who was on staff with us. We were baptizing Nick at the Spring Meadow Lake at the end of his freshman year. And Nick played football, so he was here at Carroll 5 years. And so I met with him on a weekly basis for 5 years while he was as a student. And then turned the ministry over to him and Haley, his wife. So this is me baptizing Nick. Then this is about a year later or two. This is Nick and I baptizing Dustin. Next picture, this is Dustin and someone else baptizing Eli. I'm no longer in the picture. Nick's no longer in the picture, right? I'm on the shore taking the picture. Okay? I could have been baptizing, but these guys had made disciples of their football team. These guys had invested, right? And so, working myself out of a job, right? This is Nick and Haley baptizing Jessica, one of the students at Carroll. And like I said, I'm no longer in the picture. And I'm no longer here at Carroll. Nick and Haley are here at Carroll. And they are making disciples. And I've just came back for the weekend to be a part of the Helena Kaiapa staff, and just getting to meet all their disciples, all these staff members that have been raised up from Carroll, these missionary associates. Marky, who's a missionary to India, and he's going to be a missionary, Kaiapa missionary in Pocatello now. I mean, just people who are making disciples who make disciples, and that's what it's about. This is fun. It was a sad occasion. It was Dick Schroeder's funeral that I took this picture at. And many of you know Dick Schroeder because he's come over the years and spoke here. But on the left is our campus pastors, Curtis and Glenn Cole, who really discipled my wife and I and just invested their lives into our lives. And we were on staff with them for 4 years. They just been tremendous mentors in our lives and just awesome campus ministers. And then there's me, and then there's Nick and Haley. And then there's Tim and Brielle, who they've discipled. They're going to be going to Yale to do an internship this coming year. And then they'll be coming back to serve here in Helena to continue to make disciples who make disciples. Did you know Helena Kaiapa has nearly 10% of the campus involved in their small groups right now? I don't think there's a Kaiapa in the whole nation that has 10% of the campus involved in the Kaiapa ministry. And so just God's doing a work, and it's through that the vein of discipleship, how Jesus modeled this out, we do that. How many of you like Star Wars? Any Star Wars fans out there? Okay, so I grew up, I was born in the 70s. I love Star Wars. I connect with that in the whole thing of, the Jedis were like these spiritual policemen of the galaxies, and the older was paired up with the younger, right? And they went on mission together. Right, all around the galaxy, went on mission together. The older training the younger, right? Who would then replace them? And so this was a great quote from the Last Jedi movie, one of the more recent ones. That Yoda, the 900-year-old little green guy with big ears, who had discipled many Jedis over the years, right? Trained many Jedis. When he says this to Luke, when Luke was a little discouraged and wanting to throw in the towel, Luke Skywalker, because he had failed. One of his disciples kind of went away. He was discouraged. He's just given up hope, right? And Yoda says this, we are what they grow beyond. That is the true burden of masters. We are what they grow beyond. Nick and Haley have taken the ministry way beyond what we could have ever done. But that's discipleship. That's what it's all about, investing in the next generation who will carry on the work that Jesus came to do to reconcile the whole world to Christ, right? Amen? And so there's a generation of younger people out there that need discipleship. There's a generation of younger people who need somebody older to invest in them. I was just talking to Bruce Cipolla this morning, and looks like my clicker broke. But that's the last slide, so that's okay. But just the challenges of getting younger families and younger people, people under 50, which I still am in that category, into church and sticking, right? But there are younger people who need those of you who are older to invest in you. And so this scene here is Rey, and she's a young Jedi. She has no clue what she's doing, and she somehow found Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. And she finally travels around the galaxy and finds Luke Skywalker. And she goes, and she's like, I got this thing, this lightsaber. I don't know what it does. I don't know what I'm doing. I need somebody to help me. There's a younger generation that's holding out this book. And they need somebody older to walk them through and help disciple them. They need somebody who will invest in them. I just met with one of our former disciples, and now in his 30s, beautiful family, and just he's struggling right now, and he misses having a mentor, somebody he can just process the challenges of life. Life is hard, right? That's why we need each other. But things, you know, when you're young and you're in college, you're bulletproof, you're healthy, you know, like you don't think about things till you're old, right? But then you start going through life a little bit, and you get sucked through a vacuum like a little bird when you're cleaning the cage, and the little songbird gets sucked through the vacuum hose. And thankfully, you just turn it off in time, and you take it out and dust it off, and that bird's kind of like this, right? And the hair and the feathers are all kind of stud on end, and you clean it off and put it back on the perch. But all of a sudden, that little songbird doesn't sing anymore. That's what life can do to us, right? It just doesn't sing anymore. But that's why we need others to come alongside us and encourage us, because we will eventually, I don't know, care who you are or how young you are, you will get sucked through that vacuum at some point in time. And I don't want, and God doesn't want you to be sitting there perched, feeling like you just have no joy anymore. You just don't want to keep going, or you just don't want to keep serving Jesus anymore. That's why we need those to come alongside, and that's why we need to be intentional about discipleship. Amen? Let me pray with you this morning. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for Jesus. You modeled the way for us. You came and showed us how to intentionally invest in others that they might do so with others. Lord, I pray for this congregation. I thank you for Pastor Jason and Amy. I thank you for this church over the years and their support of Chi Alpha and support of our family. And I just thank you for this church's heart for missions, this heart for the community. We just thank you for that, and we just pray that you'd help all of us to do our part, that we'd be like the Sea of Galilee, where everything that's flowing into us, Lord, would flow out of us through our devotional life, when we're spending time with you, through Sunday mornings, through Wednesday nights. Lord, the things that you're investing in us, that wouldn't go to waste, that wouldn't just build up in us like the Dead Sea, but it would go out to serve as a blessing to others, that they might know you and they might grow in the grace and knowledge of you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Pastor Jason.
Is that going to be okay? It's the season for resurrection, so I think it'll be good. That was really good stuff, wasn't it? I hope you guys listen. It goes along with a lot of where we've been and what we've been talking about, and I just love it when a missionary can come in and give you just a different point of view. So let's celebrate that. And, you know, sitting there listening and everything, the thing that I really heard was less about what you were saying and quoting and things like that, and just more about your character and your actions, right? So discipleship, you know, is a beautiful thing. It's such a necessary thing. But the discipler has a great investment in whoever they're discipling. It's not a job. It's not like, oh, I'm training up somebody to take my place. And there can get animosity and envy and jealousy in there. But Tim's up here speaking, and you can just hear in his voice and his actions how proud he is of you guys back there at Carroll now. I mean, there's an investment there. You know, he's sitting up here supposed to be talking about Notre Dame, and you're talking about Carroll College. What's going on there? You're a terrible missionary, right? You're supposed to talk about what you're doing. And yes, you are, but you're talking about the legacy that you have passed on. And that's the beautiful part about discipleship, right? We raise people up, we meet with them, we get to know them, we invest in them. And then it's almost like there's a release there. But we don't completely release them because we're their biggest supporter. And we continue to encourage that. So we want to take this massive look at discipleship from all the different angles that is going on. Never look at discipleship as something that you have to do. Well, if I go to that church, if I'm not interacting and I'm not talking to some pastor's going to get on me and he's going to say, hey, can you come in? Can we talk? And then I'm going to get chewed out because I'm not doing it. That's not what discipleship is. Discipleship flows from the joy of our heart that we gain from Christ. Remember the love we've been talking about? We receive that love. It's not our love, it's His love, and then we pass it on. That's the discipleship that we do, and we need to continue to do that, and we need to be better at that as a church, and better at that as individuals. I think we're relatively good, but there's always room for improvement, and let's make let's just determine within ourselves that, man, we're going to push it just a little bit more. How hard is it to ask somebody for coffee? It's not very hard at all. How hard is it just to have a conversation? It's not hard at all. We just have to make that effort. So worship team, if you guys want to come up, we'll end with some worship, but we want to take an offering, just a love offering, a mission offering for Tim. And we'll have ushers at the back just drop that in there. You can obviously text to give. Yeah, we love that. You can give online. Just designate it. This is for that. But we also want to continue to be a great support of Chi Alpha here in our own town. So if you've never met Nick and Haley, grab them. Just meet them today. They're here. Meet them. Say, hey, what do you need? How can I pray? What can I do for you guys? Campus ministry is so exciting. It's so limited in its time. You know, you got 4 years, maybe 4 years. So there's an urgency there. So as a church with a Chi Alpha within its borders, we need to be supporting our Chi Alpha as much as we can. So let's find out. If you've never supported Chi Alpha in any way, shape, or form, figure it out. God wants us to do this. He wants us to affect this generation. Amen? Okay, I'm going to pray. We're going to worship. You're going to give. It's going to be a great day. Amen? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord God, we thank you for everything that was spoken. Lord God, let those words not just ripple out, but Lord God, let those words take hold within each one of us. Lord God, those things that were spoken, discipleship, that is your method. That is your way. So Lord God, we got to be like you. Not the fanciest, not the newest, but your way. So Lord God, speak to us and help us to step into what you have for each one of us. And it might be a friendship that develops into discipleship. Lord, let each person in here understand the need for a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy. We pray this in your name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.